Let me begin by saying thank you for praying and inviting and making your plans around the Christmas Eve services. They were a wonderful success. We had over 800 more people this year than we had the previous year, and just over 8,000 people altogether who came because we prayed, planned, and invited. So thank you so much for that. It's a great time. I just know there were hundreds of volunteers and so much work. And I gotta tell you, it just fills my heart up to think about all the work that went in to make that special for people. I had a woman come up to me in the bookstore with tears in her eyes talking about how it ministered to her, and I know it did to so many. So sometimes you just need to stop and say, way to go, thank you, it was wonderful. So thank you so much. What season are you in? Everyone's in a season. There are different seasons in life, and you're in one right now. And it's best to have a good and proper frame of mind for the season that you're in. Do you remember when you were a kid, you were in that season of being at home? Some of you are there, and you're living at home, and you're in school, and you're just honoring your father and mother, aren't you? Isn't it just wonderful? Some of us are just happy we're out of that phase and that season of life. Are you in the season where you're satisfied and single? You know, it's amazing in our culture how much we just anticipate and expect that everybody's going to get married. But in Scripture actually says, Paul said it's better if you stay single. Just saying. And now, if you're married, don't get any ideas, okay? Some of you are like, amen, don't do that with your wife sitting there. That's not right. You get in trouble. You're in a season where you're single and you're satisfied. Man, that's a great season. In a season where you're in college or graduate school, just trying to get out of school. It's a particular season that you're in, certain frame of mind. I met a couple this week who are newlyweds. It's a season. Some of you are like, no, we're just perpetually newlyweds forever and ever. That's called denial. We have classes on Monday that'll help you with that. Okay. You get in a season where you have little kids. That's a season where you can't even go to the bathroom by yourself. You're just always there. It's a very busy season. Some of you are here right now and you're just excited to be alone for an hour. That's the only reason you come to church, you know, just to be separate from them for a minute, you know. It's a season. Get into a point where your kids are growing up. We have one who's driving, one who's trying to drive, and one who's just driving us crazy. They're just kind of stair-step age, you know. Man, it's a busy season. Great season. Everybody's in a season. You come to a point where you're in an empty nest, and then they just keep coming back to the nest. It's a season. My parents, I've watched them go through seasons of their life where they were taking care of my dad's mom. It's a season where you take care of your parents as if they're your children. It's a taxing season. Travel and emotional and money and just, it's a season that you go through. I met a gentleman who was married for decades, and his wife passed away recently, and we were talking in the atrium and grieving together, and he was just talking about what the Lord's doing in his life, and he really wasn't ready for this brand new season that he's kind of been put in. There are unexpected seasons that we go through, loss and breakups and unexpected divorces and families that aren't what you thought they were going to be, relationships that don't end up how you think they were going to be, and you're just in a brand new season. I want to talk about having a new mindset for a new season. And I want us to think about where we are, saying, God, you have us here in this season. Let's be honest about where we're at. But then if you'll give us the right mindset for the season that we're in. A mindset is, Scripture says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Having his mind in a particular area. In 1 Peter, it talks about this weird statement that he makes where he says, about your mind, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. The picture there, the metaphor, is one of someone who is wearing a long robe, and in order to take off running, they have to, you know, they have to pull things up and cinch things up. This is kind of an awkward moment, isn't it? To gird your mind, to be prepared, to be strapped in, ready to face what you're going to face. I signed up for basic training without telling my mom years and years ago. And then I remember thinking, you got to have a certain mindset when you're going to go into basic training. I'm going to lose my hair. All of my civilian clothes are gone. I'm going to attempt to blend in and not get yelled at. I'm preparing myself to do many more push-ups than I want to do. There is a mindset when you're going into a season. When you're starting a new year, when you're starting a new relationship, when you start to have kids, there's a, are you ready? No, but you get in the right mindset. Say, okay, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. I believe the Lord wants us to have the proper mindset and the right mindset for the season that we're in. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about the season that you're in while I'm talking to you about it. And I want to say a brief prayer along those lines, if you'll allow me. Holy Spirit, we know that you're the teacher, and you're a great teacher. So I would just want to ask you for your help in the words that I'm about to share, that you would make them applicable, as you always do, for each individual person, for each family that's represented, that's hearing this, and that you would make it impactful in a way that we would hear what you're saying as if it were just, handcrafted for us. And the things that we hear you say, we're open to you right now. You're the reason we're here. So Holy Spirit, have your way in our heart and mind, and the things that you say to us, we'll act on those things. We'll put action to the words that you speak to us, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So having the right mindset for the season that you're in, I want to talk about the children of Israel. They had come out of bondage, and they were about to go into this promised land. It was a brand new season. Man, and they were pumped. It was a land, the Bible says, that was flowing with milk and honey. It means they were about to hit new levels of overabundance. It was a land that had more than enough. Where they came out of slavery and lack, now they were going to have plenty. It's a wonderful land, and God had already given it to them. So the people come to Moses, and I'm just going to paraphrase what's in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Numbers 13 and 14. It'd be a great read this week if you take the time. It's a fascinating story, but I'll paraphrase it. The people come to Moses, and they say to Moses, it would be good for us to go and spy out the land and see what's going on first. And he said, that seems right. I'll choose 12 leaders. They'll go. They'll see how good the land is. God's already given us this land. Then they'll come back and they'll report. It'll be wonderful. I think this is a decision he will later regret. They send the 12 out, and they, like Lewis and Clark, 40 days they're going to be gone. They pack their stuff up. They kiss their family goodbye, and they go out. They explore. They see lands they have never seen. They see cities they had never laid eyes on before, people that they didn't even know existed. And they see a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it is a wonderful land. Matter of fact, the fruit is so plentiful that they have to bring it back, carrying it on a large rod between two men. Huge, huge grapes, like the ones behind me right now. Huge. After the 40 days of spying out, you know, there's a difference of opinion. There's 10 who come back and say, yes, they all agree that it's a great land. But there's 10 that come back with great fear over the people that are there. There's giants in the land. And there are 2 that come back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. So the story goes that they come back to the people of Israel, and they're leaders of their tribes. And so the people are waiting. You know, what is the land like? And they tell him, well, it is wonderful. But, however, there are giants in the land. And they're huge. and they're scary, and they're giants, and they're ugly, and they're, did I say they're scary? Their cities have fortified walls, and they're far more advanced than we thought, and when they looked at us, we looked like grasshoppers to them. You know, fear always exaggerates. The truth is, they were spying on people, and they wouldn't have allowed the people to see them. They were saying, in our own eyes, we were grasshoppers. And I'm sure to them, we were less than bugs. We're teeny, insignificant, can't be done, impossible, scary, bad stuff. This goes through the crowd of people, and they start talking to one another. Oh, dear. Oh, I don't really care for milk and honey anyway. Do you? No, I don't care about that. I don't want to do that. I didn't know this was going to cost us. Oh, there's all these giants in the land, and we're going to be defeated, and they're all afraid. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who spoke up. As a matter of fact, the first thing that Joshua said was, no, 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 no. We can go today and kick their tail right now. We can take all of them. I've seen it. Caleb's seen it. And I'm telling you right now, we can go. Mount up right now. Form a posse. Here we go. Completely different story than the 10. They saw the same exact thing, but their report that they give, completely different. The people start to wail and cry. They boo-hoo all night long. They murmur in their tents, complaining to one another. And they start saying things like, it would have been better if we'd have died in Egypt. Really? It would have been better if we'd have died in the wilderness. Oh, and then they start saying what we all say when we really get to belly aching. Why? Why me? Why us? Why? You know what? Then they start to question Moses. I don't like the way, you know, he's kind of had a different attitude lately. I don't really like him. You think that too? Yeah. Well, why did he lead us here? He doesn't know what he's doing. Did you watch him? He doesn't know. We'll get us a new leader. We're going to get a new leader. We're going to appoint a leader, and we're going to go back to Egypt, to slavery. This is their ingenious plan. They're afraid. They are scared. They're full of doubt. Whining, belly aching, crying, and Moses falls on his face before the Lord. Aaron falls on his face before the Lord. Joshua and Caleb speak up one more time in Numbers chapter 14, 8 and 9. Here's what they say. If the Lord delights in us, they quiet the crowd, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. And also, don't fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. This is biblical, like talking about your mama kind of thing right here, okay? They are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. At that point, the people went to kill Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb ripped their clothes in disgust over the response of God's people. And Moses and God have a conversation. Now, you can read it and study it out yourself. I'm paraphrasing. But basically, God says, get out of the way. I'm fixing to wipe these people out. I brought them out of Egypt. Some of them, if you check their sandals, they still have the dry ground from the Red Sea where I parted it. They walked across it. I have provided for them food. I have provided for them clothing. I've done everything for them. I've carried them all the way here. And now they don't think I can take them all the way there. Faithless people. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses said, don't do that. The world will see that you brought us all this way, and they'll question who you are. Did you bring us here to just destroy us? What happened then was the 10 who brought the bad report died of a plague immediately. God doesn't like it when you report without him being in the scenario or the situation. He doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't like it. But then he stopped and he said, now wait, that Joshua and Caleb, I like those boys there. I like the report they brought. They included me in it. They know I can do it. I'm going to go with them and be with them. They're my boys. They stay alive. I like them. They're going to go all the way in. Now, all these other sad suckers, I'm paraphrasing. Work with me. all these other people, every day that they spied out the land, I'm going to give them a year in the wilderness for every day that they spied. Moses comes back to the people. He tells the people, and they mourn and they grieve. And this is the clincher for me. This is so human nature. I can so relate to this. As soon as they hear all that, then they quick repent, and they're all sad, and they're all sorry, and they say, "We'll go now. We'll go now." And they literally got all their stuff together and went to go take the land that day without Moses, without a word from the Lord, presumptuously, the Bible says. I've seen this with my own kids. At first, they're not very repentant, and then it gets worse and worse, and finally, they're like, no, we'll go. Okay, we'll do it. Now can we go and do what we said we were going to do? Oh, no, that deal's over. That deal left. This is what happened with the people. They moaned, they groaned, they complained, they asked why, they wanted to get a new leader, then they repented, and then they were going to presumptuously go and take the land themselves without God's help. And he said, that deal's over, and they were defeated, and they were pushed back. What can we learn? And I want to know, Father, how can I have that spirit and that mindset of Joshua and Caleb and not the 10? I really relate to the 10. I mean, I don't have to teach people today how to bellyache. We know how to do that. If you want to start a conversation with somebody, best way to do it is to be negative right off the bat. It's just kind of the way we are as humans. I'm sorry if you don't know that. Welcome to Earth. This is what it's like. People are negative. If you want to say something positive, man, it sure is great out. Well, just wait, somebody will say. Oh, you just wait. I'm going to enjoy today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we haven't had any snow yet, and I'm rejoicing in it. So I know. Yeah. I know we're going to get it, but we haven't got it yet, so I'm just going to dance anyway. But if you want to start a conversation, I'll just say something negative. Everybody will chime in. But if you say something positive, watch it get silent, or somebody will, you know, throw a negative thing your way. It's just the way we are. How can we be different? How can we be different? First of all, I would say this, let faith finish your sentences. Man, it matters how you end the thought. It matters how you end the complaint. We're going to complain. We're going to bellyache. How do you end it? Think about this. The 12 spies all saw the same thing. When I talk about having faith, I'm not talking about being in denial or denying reality. Some people are like, well, I don't know. I'm just a realist. Well, I'll tell you a reality. God is for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? Is that a reality or is it not? See, doubt. Thank you from up there. Doubt is taking the situation, the season that you're in, and just subtracting God from the scenario. Take the situation, I'll teach you how to doubt, this is easy. Take the situation that you're in right now, you don't know the answer, you don't know the way out, you don't know the way home, you don't know how it's gonna end up, it's a pickle, you're just in, you don't know. And just totally remove God from the scenario. You feel that weight, that anxiety, that depression that's waiting to happen, feel like a grasshopper, don't you? Yeah, it's very easy for us to feel like a grasshopper because we're not meant to carry the weight of the world. But we don't do that as people who trust in God. We take every scenario and we just, by a divine imagination, this is what faith is. Things that we don't see, but things that we know we can hope for. God is woven into every single thing. Every story that I hear, good news or bad news. When the good news comes, I say, look what God has done. And when the bad news comes, I say, what's God gonna do? That's what faith does. When good news comes, you look to, where can I give credit to the Father for this? Because I know he's all in this. And when bad things come, you say, this is life. But Father, you're in the middle of this, and you're going to work this out somehow, even though I don't know how. I trust in you. I want faith to finish every sentence. 20 years ago, I was in a psychiatric hospital. And the doctors were not wrong when they told the prognosis and they told my parents, he will be under your care for the rest of his life. You should have seen the look on their face. You should have seen the look on my face. But that's not wrong. That was the right thing if you just subtract God from the scenario. That's all the future held for me. But God, looked down and he said, "I think I found me a pastor." Don't laugh too hard, because there you are. And here I am. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. I don't really care to know, to be honest with you. I just know he's faithful and he does it. How do you let faith finish your sentences? It's when I'm, listen, in everyday practical ways, when we're having a conversation and we're complaining, or as some of us men like to put it, just explaining the situation at hand. This is reality. I mean, can you imagine the conversation that the 10 were having with Joshua and Caleb as they're there? Joshua and Caleb were always positive, always thinking God's going to do it. And these guys are saying, "Do you see the walls of this city?" Joshua and Caleb saying, "Yeah, we see the walls of that. Well, what do you think? We're just going to dance around, blow our little horns and shout, and they're going to fall down?" "Well, that sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, God could do that." It is a reality. God is for us and he's with us. And that is more of a reality than the situations that we're in. We finish the sentences with faith. So I find myself complaining, and then I'm caught up short, and the Holy Spirit wants me to finish the sentence. And this really matters, because you can say, you can put all the God stuff in the beginning and finish with doubt, and it's different. "Well, God's good, but I don't know how we're going to get through this mess." That's different than saying, "I don't know how we're going to get through this mess, but I know this: God is good, and he is faithful, and he is true." You know, here's the situation, here's the scenario, and that's a reality, and it's true, and God's not denying that reality, but he's going to make me prosper this year, even as my soul prospers. He's never failed me. He's never left me behind, right? It's not pie in the sky. It's faith, and it's real because God is real. Pie in the sky, bring on the whipped cream. God can do it. Okay, some of you got that. Some of you get that later. Sorry. Number two, be ready for opposition and obstacles. Be ready for opposition and obstacles. When's the last year of your life that you didn't have some opposition and obstacles? I mean, you were a little bitty baby, right? We know that in life, we're not victims. We're just living on this planet that is fallen. And we're in a fight. We're in a battle. But we admit it. We're not surprised when things don't go perfectly well. We are in a fallen world. I'm surprised at people who are surprised. And I think after a certain age, you ought to be in trouble for that. If this world surprises you at your age, come on now. You're going to have opposition. And let me tell you something, the people around you are facing it too. You're not alone, you're not special, you're not unique in this. We all are in this fight. We all face opposition, and we'll have it this year. We don't know how it will come, but the thing is, we want to be ready. So I think in terms of three things I want to share with you: my prayer life, the pace of my life, and the people in my life. My prayer life, the pace of my life, and the people in my life. First of all, with my prayer life, you know, why personally do I now wake up every morning and endeavor to have the first thing that I do most every morning is I'm going to sit with Scripture and I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm going to pray. I think at this point it's because I realize that I'm not going to have a stress-free life. Instead of reducing the amount of stress, I need to increase the amount of strength that I have. The Father can do that every single day. So instead of praying, "Oh, Calgon, take me away. Get me out of here, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, the bills come due." You know? No. I found that he's not near as interested in my comfort as he is interested in me changing into his likeness. And sometimes that's just not comfortable. What do I need? I need strength. So I sit in the mornings and I have a Bible reading plan and I pray. I have a Bible reading plan because it systematically takes me through Scripture all year long, and then I don't have to think about that or try to find a magic, you know, you play Bible roulette every morning. "Lord, speak to me," you know, boom, you know, "All right. He went and killed himself. Oh, that's not good. Go and do likewise. Oh, that's not good." No. So it takes an average to read a chapter, an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So we have a Project 345 Bible reading plan, but there are hundreds out there you can do. We just provide this. It's at the info center. I like it because it allows us, you know, to check a box And then there's grace on the weekend. If you didn't read it all, that's okay. Let Jesus do your reading for that day and move on, go to the next day. Why? Because I'm going to face opposition and obstacles, and I need to be strong, and he can strengthen me every single day. When I pray, my prayers have gotten more and more simple the longer I live with Jesus. I don't pray high and mighty prayers because I want God to recognize me when I talk to him. And he knows who you are. So you just talk to him. This Jesus paid an incredible price for us to have a conversation with the living God. And yes, it requires faith to talk to him, but he hears you. So one of the things I want to do this year is I want to take every time I'm having some worrisome thought, and we sure do, and stressful thing, and things that you're worried about and think about, I want to immediately, you can, in an instant, you can turn those into a prayer. Father, you know what I'm thinking about right now. I just give this to you, and I thank you. You're leading me, and you're helping me. Man, wouldn't it be great to turn to him throughout every single day with every single issue? You're not saying you have the answer. You're saying the one that's with you does. And you're just confessing that to him. I'm just going to turn my worries into prayers. I'm going to talk to him. My prayer life this year. My prayer life. Then also the pace of our life. The season that you're in is requiring energy to be pulled out of your body every single day. Emotional energy, mental energy, financial resources, and the pace of your life matters. I think at the beginning of the year, it's a great time for us just to look at the calendar and look at what we're going through and say, Father, how is the pace of my life? Is this sustainable right now? Is this sustainable for my family, sustainable for me? So the scripture talks about taking rest. God rested after he created the world. And when you rest, you're actually making a statement of faith to God. You're saying when you rest, Lord, I'm taking today off. I'm going to let you run this show. Somehow I believe that when I rest, the world's still going to go on without me. It's a very humbling thing. And we need it. I've been in seasons of my life where I've worked 2 and 3 jobs and finding a full day of rest was tough. So you might be in that situation. Listen, there's grace, okay? The Sabbath was made for us. We weren't made for the Sabbath. Listen, you need to take a half day here or a half day there. That's great. Maybe you need to look at your calendar and you say, in your line of work and in your business, there are certain really busy seasons, so you're going to plan to take a vacation time after or right before. You say, I don't have the resources to even take a vacation and a staycation. I hate that word, but you know what I'm talking about? We're not talking about spending a whole lot of money. We're talking about being refreshed and renewed and taking a break and taking a rest. The third thing I think about is the people in my life. The people in my life. If you've just started to form a relationship with Jesus, research actually shows spiritual growth is greatly enhanced as you interact in small groups. There are tons of groups. I was looking through this earlier today. There are tons of groups available. And it's not just our relationship between us and the Father, but actually we grow as we relate to one another. So you get in a group, and that group is weird. They're just weird. They don't know they're weird. That's why they're all together. So you get out of that group. And you get in another group. Lo and behold, they're weird too. Well, they don't know they're weird because they're all together. So you get out of that group. At some point, you will find a group, and I'm giving you the permission to get in one and say, nope, weird people, and then get out and get into another group. That's the beautiful thing about a large church. And there's weird people everywhere. Eventually, you're going to find weird people like you. And you get in that group, and you won't know they're weird because they're with you. But this Christian life was not meant to be lived alone. We sharpen one another. We encourage one another. We tick one another off, and we have to work through those differences with God and other people, and it's good for us. I have a very small group, a few men that really hold me accountable and help me grow. And man, I wouldn't be the same without them. Listen to me, men, you need other men. I'm not talking about 15 other men. And usually it's not the person who comes up and tells you that they want to speak into your life. No, people that you trust have been put in your life for a reason. Sometimes you have to seek that out. As men, we need that. Iron sharpens iron. So think about your prayer. Think about the pace of your life. Think about the people in your life. And lastly, determine that no matter what happens, I will press on. There is a certain type of something on the inside of every believer that needs to register that says, I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going back. I don't care what comes my way. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what happens in 2016. I'm holding on to God. I'm not turning back. I'm not going to get nostalgic. I personally hate nostalgia. And here's why. Because as soon as things get tough in this season that you're in, you know what you want? Comfort. You're not alone. We avoid pain. We seek comfort. That's what we're like. And it feels like when we think back to yesteryear, it was so comfortable. Why? Because we don't imagine all the bad things that happened. We just remember the good. It was wonderful. And in that point in your life, you were looking back at something else. The people of Israel did this. As soon as it was going to get tough, we're in for a fight. We're in for a battle. The Lord is with us. Let's go fight. Let's go win. Oh, I sure do wish we were back in slavery right now. Really? I wish we had died in the wilderness. All they're picking places that they would have rather died than where they're at right now. And we do the same thing. Oh, as soon as it starts getting cold, I think of, oh, Texas. Deep in the heart of Texas, I'm singing the song. Let me tell you about Texas and Houston in August. You step outside and you're in a sauna and you just sweat. Oh, it's miserable. But you don't think about that when you're being nostalgic. Oh, let me tell you about Cincinnati in the fall. Oh, it's beautiful. In the spring, there's actually seasons here. It's amazing. Don't have that in Houston. What am I saying? Don't compare back then to right now. There's no comparison. This is where you are right now. This is where God has you, and this is the season where you're at. So you want to look back and remember how good he's been? That's great. But it doesn't do us any good to look back and think back when, and oh, I wish I were there. Well, you're not there. Yesterday ended last night. There's no future in the past. We have got to move on. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14, Paul says it this way. And he had some stuff that he needed to forget and lay behind him. Brothers, I don't consider that I may have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You say, Rob, is it an upward call in Christ Jesus? Yes, it is. Every year in Christ, it's an upward call, becoming more and more like him. It's an upward call. The Bible says we actually go from glory to glory. You're saying, Rob, 2016 going to be a rose garden? It's going to be perfect, going to be easy? No. You're going to get closer to God. And that's really all that matters. At the end of this year, you're going to look more like Jesus. You're going to seek him with your whole heart. He's going to speak things to you, and he's going to make you more like his son. And you're going to have a greater impact on the people that are around you. And there's nothing more important than that. I'm not saying we're going to look great when we get there. I'm saying he's going to carry us there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. There was a time where I was, I close with this story. I had an opportunity to do some speaking in the South Pacific. We were on like a 16-day trip. We were in islands and places I'd never heard of before, Vanuatu and Tonga, and in Australia, we were in Sydney, and I spent 40 hours on a plane, just going some puddle jumpers and big planes. It was a great trip. One day, the missionary decided to give us a little bit of a break, and for half a day, he said, I'm going to take you out on this boat. Took us out on this boat, and we were in the South Pacific. The water is crystal blue clear. It's just wonderful, sunny day. And we go out a few miles from the shore, and there's this island, a deserted island, maybe the size of about our campus. And I didn't know this at the time, but we were there on the island. There was the sharks were swimming right near the shore, and they had black-tipped fins on them. Oh, beautiful, but scary. We got on the shore, white sand, sunny day. It looked like a screensaver everywhere you looked. And we had a coconut, And on top of a coconut in the South Pacific, there are three dots, and one of them is always soft, that if you poke through it with a straw, it'll always give way. You just find out the one. And so, that is, in fact, what we did. Put the straw in the coconut. And the contents were sweet and cool and refreshing. Then you could actually break them open, and these coconuts, they weren't hard on the inside. They're actually like jelly on the inside, and you can eat that white part, and it's super sweet and filling. And we are on this island with the are you there with me or what? Don't you hate this story? And in the middle of that, I'm going somewhere. The Spirit of God said to me, on the inside, not an audible voice, "How'd you get here, Rob?" I mean, I'm looking at all this scenery. I mean, I'm speaking to these beautiful people in these other lands I'd never been to before. It's flowing with coconut, milk, juice, water, land, whatever, you know, just wonderful. How did I get here? I'd ask you that same thing right now. How is it that you've made it to this place in your life? In that moment, I didn't tell the Lord that I had arrived by boat, by plane. That's not what he was looking for. He wanted me to hear myself say to him, "You brought me here, Father. You carried me here. It wasn't by my own. I could have never done it, Lord. How did you get here?" The Lord has brought you here. And he's brought you this far. And he didn't bring you this far so that he'd leave you to die. Whatever your season right now, he brought you here. He carried you here. And he is well able to carry you all the way home with him. Would you stand with me? Our prayer for you this year is that you'd have that, we'd have this together, this mindset. You're in a season. And the mindset is one where I'm going to trust the Father. This is where he has me. Listen, some of you wonder if the season you're in right now is a place where God has you. You're called by his name, and he has you there. And if you belong to him, if you're not where you're at, you can trust him to lead you somewhere else. In every scenario in our life, we can trust him. Would you bow your heads with me, and we'll pray. Father, we're thankful today for the example that you give us in your word of historical events that occurred that parallel our own lives. We're reminded today that you really love it when we speak words of faith. We're reminded today that you love when we put our full trust in you, even though we can't see the outcome. Father, we're thankful to you today that although we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds our future. You've carried us this far, and you're going to be faithful. Lord, the truth of the matter is we don't know very much, and we don't see very far ahead. And it's probably a good thing, Lord. But we just want you to know that we know you see the end from the beginning, and you brought us here. We want you to hear us just tell you, we trust you to take us there. Pray that you'd go with us today, walk with us, help us to turn our every thought to you and to prayer. And may this be a year where you are honored and glorified, and you do everything that you want to do in our lives, in our church. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer team available at the front. Hope you have a great week. God bless.